Today's guest is Kimberly Deedy, and Kimberly is an author, and she is amazing. She's a returning guest. I asked her to back on because she just published her fifth book, and I think it's, she'll say in the interview, but I think it's like 3 years, and I am a fan, a big fan. I have read. She got me back into reading fiction again, and I wanted to have her on because she is just a great example of somebody who has a passion, but it's a side gig, and she works by day as an accountant in banking, and she is an author in her side time. And so I think she just has a great example of somebody who foresaw the empty nest as an empty time, and that she wanted to fill her life with something that she loved. And she loved, always was a big reader and loved reading. And she started writing, and look where it's taken her. I've read two of her books in this series, and I'm about to start the third. So she got me back into reading fiction because I had her as a guest back in like October before I even had the podcast as a podcast. I was just publishing it on Facebook. And so we hit it off, and she's been just a big inspiration to me in getting back into fiction reading. So with no further ado, let's get right to the interview.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And gosh, I think we're in the 40s on episodes, and I'm super, super excited today because I have my first returning guest. Kimberly, I think you're my first returning guest, but she was in episode 7. And so she is back because she is a book author, and a lot has happened since she was on the first time. And I want to share a little bit about my journey since she's been on the first time, because I've been reading her books and it's been really exciting. She has actually gotten me back into fiction reading. So welcome, Kim. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Lori. I'm thrilled to be here. I was so excited when you asked me back.
Yes. Well, she posted on social media that she just published her last book, not last, but her most recent book. And you have been a monster in terms of the thing I love about Kim is she has a full-time job as an accountant, and she writes on the side, and she's had an incredible production in the, like, you started, your first book was 50, you're 51, and you've written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right around 50. Yeah, about 50. Book? And I've got my fifth book out just the end of June now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And how many, that's like 3 years?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The first one, you know, I wrote for a few years before I got it up, but the first book was published in September of 17th. And so just 2.5. Almost 3 years now. I've got five books out.
And what's so crazy too is that, like, writing and accounting are like so opposite. Like, and I've always considered myself, I'm not good at math, you know? It's funny because I do like to get in there and do the numbers and stuff, but I didn't do good on my SATs for math. And so I've always had that kind of limiting belief, I'm not good at math, but like, and I love to read and I love writing. So I always think it's like one or the other, and you're clearly doing both very well. So I want to share with people that I just love reading so much, and that you opened up. And that's what I love about having a podcast and having guests on my podcast, because had I not started my podcast, I would have never met Kim. And she was on my newsletter, and she just replied that
she was enjoying inspiring stories. And I was like, and you had mentioned you were passionate about what you were doing. And I just replied back and asked what she was passionate about, because I thought, gosh, if she's passionate, she could be a good guest. And then that evolved into her sending me her first book after we finished our interview, because she heard me say I hadn't read for so long fiction. I mean, I think it had been like 6 years. I was like, I'm a big reader, but it's all self-help stuff.
Sure. And I've done that same journey myself. I used to read fiction. And then for the last 10 years or so, I was only reading nonfiction because I couldn't find fiction books that really spoke to me. So I thought, okay, then I'll start writing them.
Yeah. And what was so funny is when I got it, I read a lot on Kindle now. So I got this book in the mail, and I remember I opened it. I was so excited. It was thick. And it was like 400 pages, because I think it's so good when you have a good book, because you don't want it to end. And so I was so excited I was going to have something like to dig into. And as I read her book, and the first book was titled Whispering Pines.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And great cover. I love the cover. So the cover art's good. That's a whole other part of
writing a book
you don't even think about, right?
Right.
And I just want to encourage, and of course I'll put the links in the show notes to her books, but it's a series of books, and you can describe it in a second because you'll probably do it better. But I love that it's like not over when the book is over, that there's a next book. And so I've read two, and I have the third on my Kindle. I just haven't started reading it yet. And what I was telling her in the pre-interview is that you get so tied to these characters that you're reading about. And when I started the second one, I was like, I miss Renee and Matt, you know, which were like the couple in the first book. But it was really a great story. And the reason why I wanted to get you back on, another reason, not only because you're just such a great example of somebody who goes after her passion, and even you, the fact that you have a full-time job doesn't stop you. And I would love to hear your perspective on that. But I also love the books, because Renee, the character, and the other characters are, well, are people in midlife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot of my guests come on here with their midlife transformation stories, and they've been laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets laid off, and she is caught in this, you know, quandary of what now? What do I do with my life? And she's has two kids that are grown. Well, one's high school and one's college, and she's a widow. And so I don't want to give too much away, but it is such a great story of what we all go through in midlife. I saw so much of myself in her, and she was so inspiring. It's like, the things she did are also things that like I want to do, that are like on my list like my vision. So let's start by, you know, just revisiting. Some of this was in, you know, the earlier episode, but you have been still juggling the two. And how do you make time with doing five books in this amount of time?
Well, I think the key, because I do still work full time, the key is just making it a priority in my non-working hours. We have three kids, but up until COVID started, we didn't have any at home anymore. Our youngest will be a sophomore in college this year. Our middle daughter is in grad school, and then our son is off and married. So I do have, you know, to me that feels a little bit like a luxury now that I'm an empty nester. I was dreading it, but I love it now. And realistically, I get up early every morning. I try to be up by 5, and, you know, I work, do my day job 8 to 5. And then I also try to get back to it at night. Lots on the weekends. We have a lake cabin. One of my most fun weekends this summer, and nothing against my family, I love them dearly, but I got to spend a couple days at our cabin by myself writing, and it just feels so productive. And it's a little bit the same setting as what I have in the books. So that really helps me to concentrate too. But I've just found that it's a wonderful break from my day job. I'm not quite to the point yet, you know, where this could be a full-time career. I hope to get there at some point. Not there yet, but, you know, the longer I do this, the more I find you can do two things at the same time. It's a lot of work, but when the side gig is something you're passionate about and really have fun, mm-hmm. it's absolutely doable. I think most anybody can do it.
Yeah, and that's what I've read as I studied about passion and doing work you mm-hmm. love, is that, yeah, it can be a hobby. You just, you know, as long as you have enough of it in your life, then it makes the journey so worth it. So.
Well, and I, you know, you spoke a little bit to the stories themselves. And what I'm really trying to do is not just entertain people, but give them a fun, positive message, you know, without being over the top. I try to keep them very relatable, you know, characters we can all relate to. It's a really fun family. And I've been blessed to be part of an awesome family. And I just, you know, I hear all the time from my readers how much they enjoy that aspect as well, the importance of family and really encouraging and supporting each other.
Yeah, it made me wish kind of for a family because they're so well connected. Yeah,
they and are probably more so than most, right?
Yeah. But I think, not to give away anything in the book, but it was almost like some that the Whispering Pines Resort mm-hmm. was kind of yes. had that whole like being together theme where they got together in the summers. And I think right. some families do have their traditions where they do these things yearly. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I just loved that. But yeah, you know, and you had, I think, mentioned this in the first episode, but there was a matriarch aunt.
Yes.
And yes. she, Cecilia. So in the books, it's called Cecilia's Series. Is that what it's
Cecilia's
called?
Cecilia's Gifts. Yeah, Cecilia's it's Celia. Gifts. Yeah.
And so Cecilia, you know, she passes and she gives. But I love how Cecilia was very thoughtful in mm-hmm. her will, and that each child got something that Cecilia knew would be good for them, even though the child was like, what do I do with this, you know, initially.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So in the premise of this series, while the great aunt is Celia in the books, I do model her after my own great aunt. You know, she passed away when I was in college. I wish I would have known her better, but she was a really neat lady. And so I get a lot of my ideas from that. And this next book, this fifth book that I'll be writing, is going to wrap back around and kind of be her story. Mm. So it's been a lot of fun. Each of the first four books, plus the Christmas novel that I have, feature one of her nieces and nephews, and even great nieces and nephews. But it's fun because it is based off my real life great aunt. And I've had family members, distant family members, reach out to me now that are just so excited to find this series that's just roughly based off of our great aunt.
Yeah, I was telling Kim in the pre-interview that I feel like I know her so much better. Even though these are fictional characters, it's like I feel like there's this connection. And even though, and that's the great thing about, I think, books, is that we grow close to these characters. And I think we take away from everything we read some kind of lesson, they teach right. us something. Right. And that must feel good as an author to know that you're gifting people that.
Absolutely. It really does. And even with, you know, the first book with Whispering Pines and Renee's story, it starts out with her getting laid off. We're not giving away too much, everybody, because that's in the first chapter.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many people, unfortunately, right now are facing that. So that's why I do think it's a great idea for all of us to have a plan B. And, you know, because we never know, this whole COVID and everything has created such a different world than we were used to, that I'm happy and feel blessed that I have my writing as a plan B, should I ever need it to become a plan A, even before I thought I was ready. But, you know, I try to pull things like that into my stories, keeping it generic enough that people can relate to it. But a lot of people get furloughed or laid off in our economy even before these recent events. So it's meant to inspire.
Yeah. Also, the time of the pandemic is mm-hmm. making people step back and say, gosh, we never ever thought this would happen, even though we see it right. in movies. And it right. makes us think, wow, what if the end were here, you know, what would I do differently? So I think there's a lot of that comes up for people. So can you tell me, and I don't think we went into a lot of detail on this before, is what called you to that, to the passion of writing?
Well, it was kind of organic. It just grew over time. So I have always been a very passionate reader. I read a ton of fiction. And honestly, up until probably I had the big 40th birthday looming, and I just felt like there was something more out there. I didn't know what it was. So I really, similar to you, Lori, I think I transitioned to reading nonfiction, you know, self-help type, you know, what else is out there for me? What else can I do? Love being a mom. But I've been at the same company for, at that time, it would have been 20 years. I'm getting close to 30 years now. And I just felt like even if I stayed with that, there's more out there. And so I just started probably, I don't know exactly how old I was, maybe 47, 48 when I started thinking, I can't find novels out there that really speak to these kinds of things, you know, from a fiction perspective, but kind of still self-help. I don't want to make it sound like it's all woo-woo and self-help in these books, but, you know, I've seen the quote, if you can't find the book that you want to read, write it. And I think that's really where it went. It started out as just a fun project where I'd go down in the basement and write for an hour a night because I really did want to see it through and see if I could come up with anything. You know, all my writing prior to this was work related and, you know, corporate business type. So this was really fun, like you say, kind of using a different part of my brain.
So did you have the idea of the characters or did you outline it or...
Oh, no, I wasn't that organized.
Yeah?
I just knew it would be fun. And Renee was really kind of me. I haven't been laid off from a job, but I've worked with so many people that have. And it's just, okay, you play it around in your mind all the time. What if? What would I do if that happened? Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I did know for sure was just because my Aunt Mary, who was kind of a woman before her time, mm-hmm. Back in the 50s and 60s. She was amazing. She never married. She ran a huge road construction company in North Dakota. She had always inspired me. So she was really the only one that I thought. And when I first wrote Whispering Pines, I didn't have an outline. I didn't even really know until I got further into that first book that, hey, maybe I can spin this off and turn it into a series.
Yeah, it was almost like, you know, I had a guest on recently and she is able to talk to people after they've died. And she it was so interesting. She's written a book, but it almost kind of reminds me of her instead of her being this. And she said what she gets is she just starts writing. She starts writing. It's almost like this energy that comes through. She says it's like God speaks to her through this person. And then she wrote a book with somebody who was one of her clients and she helped her with her husband as he passed and he was in a coma and then he ended up dying. But what came to me while you're describing it, it's almost like it was coming through. Like people think, oh, I need to like have this idea and I need to have this mm-hmm. outline and it has to be all these characters first. But it sounds like you just sat down with a piece of paper or a notebook and you just kind of channeled what kind of came to you naturally. And
yeah, I
love that. I love
it. You know, I think I was kind of living vicariously through Renee. You know, if you had the chance to do anything you wanted, what would it be? And, you know, who wouldn't like to live at a resort? And
yeah. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people, you know, I've realized how important journaling is. And so many people don't take time. They just are so caught up with busy. And you never sitting down with a blank journal and just like writing your thoughts, starting with just writing what comes up, will uncover something. And with you, it uncovered this amazing journey of books and a book series. You know, who knows where it would take somebody else? You know, I just think it's just a neat way that you started. And I like that there was not a lot of logic brain put into it.
Right. No, there wasn't. My logic brain gets overused during the day. So
and you're a logic brain person. People think we're not creative. I'm not creative. I love that. Right. How did you fall into accounting?
I think I just liked it when I was in high school. Went on to college. I started in computer science, but I just really enjoyed more the business classes. that kind of thing. And I ended up, I'm an accountant, but I'm in banking. So it's, you know, a lot of variation. Like I say, this is my 30th year at the bank I'm at. But I like the variety. I started out as an internal auditor, did all the, you know, different accounting things, managed people, didn't manage people. It's just changed dramatically through the years. But this is just so very different that I think that's one of the reasons it's refreshing and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's so different than anything. Although I will say, because I am running this as a business, not just a hobby, I do need both sides of my brain in the independent publishing
arena
as well. Good so point. Part of my time is spent creating and writing the books, but honestly, that's not necessarily the biggest part. You know, you hire professionals, you work with professional editors and cover designers. But even once the book is out, there is a lot of ongoing, if you want to keep the series alive and keep getting new eyes to it, excuse me, there's a lot you have to learn with advertising. And so, and I know I probably sound like a nerd, but I love all that. It's just really fun.
Yeah, you're multifaceted. You just like you have like multiple personalities that all like these different things, and you're doing them all. I think that's amazing.
I do think at our age, it's a good way to not feel stale.
Yeah.
To get to do a lot of different things. It's like you are. You're doing so many different things now than you ever did before.
Yeah. And one thing that I love to tell people is that people hesitate to make themselves a priority. Because I think as moms, we just, our second nature is we want everybody to shine, and then we don't, we kind of hide. And what I think is, you know, I try to say, well, would you allow your child to hide and not shine?
Right.
What would you tell your child if they didn't have passion and weren't going after what they really wanted or trying to figure it out? That, I mean, talk about a mama bear, lioness, or whatever you want to call it. They would do whatever they could to make sure their child, and I think by role modeling, and so
Absolutely.
That was, I wanted to ask you what your children think about this mother who has written 5 books. I mean, that must, I mean, you know, that doing the action that if you want your kids to be passionate about life, show them a passionate person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so tell me about what your kids think. You know, what are they?
I think sometimes they think I'm nuts because I spend so much time working. But no, they're very supportive. And, you know, they'll tell their friends. And our son is married. And his wife is a new teacher. And she's running a writing club at their middle school, and so she wants to have me come in and visit with the kids, and so it's a great connection. And I always think as I'm doing this, because you're right, the kids watch us, right? It doesn't matter if they're 5 or 25, they're watching what we're doing, and we're setting the example. And the last thing I wanted them to think is, okay, you get to 50 or 55 or 60 or 65, you're done working, life's pretty much over, you relax, you get sick and you die. I just don't want them to think like that. I truly feel like, you know, there is no magic number for retirement anymore. And however, we shouldn't have to do things that don't make us passionate for 60 or 70 years, you know. So I'm just trying to set a really good example for them. And then anytime they want to chase their dreams, they can, but it's going to be a lot of work. You know, it isn't easy, but it takes dedication. But I want to show them that what true commitment looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good way of looking at it. It's not easy because it does take commitment, and it takes basically going all in and making a decision that you're going to do it and that you're going to stick with it. I think that's the hardest part, because I think once you're doing what you love, it doesn't feel hard. I don't feel like if it's something new, it's like might fear might enter, you know, but that's the hard part, I guess, is like, will it work? Will it not work? What's going to happen? What will people say? You know, that kind of stuff. But that's just like the mindset that you bring to the table. But I just try to view everything as an adventure.
Absolutely.
And if
especially when you're working for yourself, right? And you're building a business. My advice is, you know, keep focusing on the parts of it that you love and make those work for you. Find a way to make that work. If there's pieces, advice you're getting, be it an online business or writing or whatever you might be doing, and someone is saying, oh, you need to do this, and you don't enjoy doing it, I think at this stage in our life, don't do that then. Find something else that works for you and go all in on it and just kind of use your own voice and make your own way.
Yeah, and I would say that too. It, to me, if that doesn't feel right or doesn't feel good, that means that you're really not in alignment with that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, do what feels good, and we deserve that too.
Right.
Yeah. What would you had said that you had written the book? I remember when we talked the first time, your brother had read it. You gave it to him, and he said, "Well, I think you gave it to your parents first, and then you gave it to him." And he was "You got to do something with this." And yeah, I love that you had that support system there. But what got you you enjoyed the writing. What got you to the point at which you started to be brave enough to take the next step?
My mom got sick.
Oh.
And she was always one of my biggest cheerleaders. And we didn't know what was going to happen. But I can remember sitting out on our patio talking about the book, which was still just a draft. I didn't know what to do with it. I had no idea how to actually turn it into an actual book. But I can remember sitting out on the patio with her, and, you know, we talk covers, we talk all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, mom's getting sicker and sicker. And I just decided, you know what? None of us know how long we have to chase these dreams, so I better get on with it. And so I joined an online publishing group to teach me how to do it. And that was wonderful, because I don't know that I ever would have gotten it out there. It helped when my brother said, hey, you need to do something with this, because when you just write it yourself, and even when your parents or, you know, my husband read it and they say, oh, it's great, it took my brother, who would tell me if it wasn't great, to say I should do something with it. So really, mom's illness was the impetus behind me actually pushing through publishing it. Whispering Pines came out in September, and we lost her in December. So it just felt like a miracle to me that, and I'm going to cry if I talk about that part too much. But that's another thing I like about the books and writing these books, is there's so much of our own family traditions in there, even though it's fiction. But I know if any of my family members pick up this book and read it, they're going to read about the things we do at Christmas and the menus we serve and, you know, all this fun stuff. In my latest book, Choosing Again, which just came out in September, you know, I have the recipe box that was my great aunt Mary's, and I pulled some recipes out of there and included them in the story and in the back of the book. So, I mean, it's the family dynamics and such that really, like I say, I don't know if other people do that, but I'm enjoying it, loving it, making it my own. And it seems to resonate with some people. So
that's so neat. That just made me think, my sister's kids, and I don't even know, maybe a long, long time ago when they were little, they tasted them, but we haven't used these cookies for years and years and years. But my grandmother used to make these pecan balls that were with powdered confectioner sugar or something.
Sure.
I've never tasted another cookie that was as good as her cookies. And my niece brought it up, and we ended up finding her recipe. And so the fact that that lives on through your book, I mean, that got me choked up. I mean, that's amazing.
The character in my latest book, Val, loves to cook, which I don't, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I'm not a very good cook, but she's going to help people recreate family recipes that have kind of been lost, that don't work very well anymore. I mean, it's just so fun to make things up that would be really fun to be able to do in real life. You know, those are the kinds of things I try to write about. And I try to keep them good, you know, feel good stories. I mean, they have drama, they have some twists and turns and that kind of thing, but I just think the world is so full of sadness and terrible things right now that I love putting books out there that are meant to inspire people and make them.
Do you like get these ideas? Like, when do you download them? Because I always tell people, try to have build some quiet time in your day, because that's when things come to us.
Right.
So do you have built-in quiet time where, or ideation time?
That's my dream. I would like to have more of that. Right now, I just have to kind of, I feel most creative in the early morning. That's one of the reasons I do get up early and get writing. And so honestly, Lori, that would be part of my dream day. And I'm not there yet, but it's really important. And I know to continue to come up with ideas and write additional books and stuff, that has to be part of my daily.
Well, it sounds like you said you went to your lake house and I think sitting.
That's true. Yeah. Just,
you know, writing that opens it up as well. So,
I find even if I just make myself sit and write for 10 minutes, even if I don't know what I'm going to say, 75% of the time that'll kind of open the floodgates and it starts again.
Yeah. One thing we talked about, and I don't know if we talked about this on the interview or outside, because we've had a few conversations outside, but I believe that everybody has a book inside of them. And I know that I want to write a book, and I've been told multiple times by people to write my, document my love story with my husband.
Yes.
Because it's super powerful. But what would you say, I'm doing a workshop right now, and a few people have said that they want to write a book. So what would you say to somebody who has either thought of writing a book or is sitting on a book right now? What would you encourage them? Clearly you are driven by this terrible life event. Somebody, you know, doesn't have this life event looming yet. Maybe something will happen, but yeah. So what would you say to get them to kind of make a move?
I think that it just feels so rewarding to have the ideas in your head down on paper out there forever. I would encourage anybody that feels like they want to write a book do, because now more than ever, so many of the gatekeepers are kind of going away, and people want to write books for lots of reasons. Often it's not because they want to sell 100,000 of them or anything, like they want to leave a legacy for their family or for their friends, take their wisdom, their hard-earned wisdom over all these decades, and put it down on paper so that it can go on. And I just, it's so fun to go through that. The author community is so wonderful and supportive. You could find, you know, I've paid for some courses. I think that's a great quick way to learn how to do things. But even if you don't feel like you want to go that all in, or maybe you don't have the ability to do that financially or something, you can find plenty for free out on the internet to help you get started. Mm-hmm. And there's really no reason why anybody that wants to write can't.
Yeah.
You know, there's just wonderful resources out there. And I can tell you, it just feels so good to finally hold that actual physical book in your hand.
Yeah, I bet. I don't know if I told you this, but my mom always wanted to write a book.
No, I don't think you did.
She finally did. She was an English major, and then she became a guidance counselor. But she always wanted to write a book, and she finally self-published a book. She was probably in her 50s after she retired.
Yeah.
And it was called Hostage at Hamilton High. And I don't think she wrote, it was a little short book, but it was about, you know, a hostage situation at a middle school. You know, and that was funny because I read it and I remember my like relatives' names were in the book. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. And so and then my aunt, her sister wanted to write, and she is a very faithful woman. She's very religious. Sure. And she has come up with like Christian books here. She's written several books, but she didn't even start. She is probably she's about 77 maybe now. I don't even think she started to write a book until she was close to 70.
Yeah, so, it's never too late. And you have to be careful not to put too high of expectations on yourself. Just write.
Yeah.
And, you know, get it down on paper, and then you can see if you want to take it further and do something more with it. But you just don't expect to get a number one bestseller, you know, New York Times right out of the gate. Lots of people aren't even writing for that reason.
Yeah.
There are just so many benefits. And similar to you, you know, you just said you'd like to write a book. Your mom did, your aunt did. I hear that from so many people.
Yeah.
And I just want to inspire people to do it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and the thing that I love too, where I say everybody has a book inside of them, everybody has a memoir inside of them. You know, yes. I always like memoirs because memoirs are like little short stories. Mm-hmm. And so you, when you say just start writing, it doesn't have to be a 400 page book.
No,
it can be a little, you know, essay, you know, that
Absolutely.
You write that right. of an experience that you had and,
right.
And the way you write it and like everybody has different experiences and it's just going to be unique to you. And I love that. So, mm-hmm. and I want to tell you that I loved your book so much that I went onto Amazon and gave it a 5-star review and I wrote a little review. I've never given a review of any.
I really appreciate that. Reviews are hugely important to authors, especially new authors like me who, you know, somebody might see my book and think, might be tempted, but unless there's some reviews out there, no social proof, they'll just move on to one of the big name authors maybe that have a ton of resources behind them. So I appreciate that, Lori.
Well, I wanted people, I liked it so much and I appreciate you gifting it to me, but I loved it so much that I wanted other people who are like me to read it. And if I didn't do a review, then I felt like people wouldn't know why somebody at midlife, my age, would like something like that. So I thought I really wanted to, you know, you give you that gift, but yet at the same time, give a bunch of people the gift of like being able to read it. So,
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So for those people who are listening and need a good fiction book, it's called Whispering Pines by Kimberly Deedy. And we'll put it in the show notes, but it's on Amazon and it's an amazing book. And then it's just the beginning of a series that it's Whispering Pines, Tangle Beginnings, Rebuilding Home. Then there's a holiday one in there that she threw in before Christmas.
Yeah, Capturing Wishes.
Capturing Wishes. And then the last one is
Choosing Again.
Choosing Again. I like that title.
Yeah, thank you. Because that's what we do, right? We're choosing again how we want to, you know, when we're kids, we make these choices and we think we have to stay with them our whole life, but life can be so much more fulfilling if we keep choosing as we go along. So that was kind of where the title came from.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on again. I saw you with your holding your books on that picture on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get her on because I want to share my story about her gifts, about, yeah, Cecilia's gifts, but they've become Kimberly's gifts. They're Kimberly.
Oh, thank you.
To me. So, yeah. So, anyway, well, thank you so much. And we'll probably have you again as a guest.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lori.
You write a few more and I read a few more. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.